microbe is my name, a public enemy. If I get inside a cut, a goner you may be. La 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 la. Oh, what's this? Oh, just what I've been waiting for. Hey, fellas, here's a place wide open. Let's get in before it's closed. Come on, make it snappy.
Oh, boy. Wow, boy, that should go yeah.
Say, Joe, you should have cut off those sleeves. What's the matter? Hurt yourself?
Yeah, just a nick.
Let's see.
Ah, it's nothing.
Only a slight cut. But you better go down and have it fixed up.
Why? There's no sense in wasting time to go down to first aid for a scratch like this. I haven't even started the job yet.
Now, don't kid yourself. A little cut like that can develop into something serious.
What? A little nick like this? What do you think I am, a panty waist?
No, but I don't think you're showing very good judgment. Now, you go down and have that fixed right away, and don't argue.
Okay, Fred. You're the boss.
Did you hear that, fellas? That means our goose is cooked. It's getting to be a fine state of affairs when a good, healthy bug can't get a job anymore. Yes, sir, fine, sir.
There, that'll take care of it. I'm glad to see you realize the importance of having these little injuries attended to right away.
Yeah, and have all the guys give me the horse laugh. This idea of running down to first aid with every little cut or scratch is a lot of hooey.
Don't you worry about what the other fellows say. And as for it being a lot of hooey, take my advice and get that out of your head right now.
I don't get the idea. What's so serious about a little cut like this?
Nothing serious at all. If you don't let it become infected.
Sure, but I never get an infection. And I never bother about first aid either.
Then I'd say you were lucky. There's always the first time, you know. I know some fellows without fingers, hands, or arms who used to think the same thing.
Yeah, but not from a little cut like this.
Yes, from just such a little cut as this. Remember, any cut, scratch, or nick, regardless of how small, which breaks the skin or exposes the tissue underneath, is open for infection.
Gosh, I may be dumb, but I don't see how a little cut can result in losing a hand or arm. Just what is an infection, anyway?
Well, to understand that, you first have to understand what causes an infection.
Yeah? What is the cause?
Infections are caused by bacteria. And bacteria are minute, living animal organisms, so small that they can only be seen through a powerful microscope.
You mean germs?
Yes, that's right. Now, these germs, or bacteria, exist everywhere. On your hands, clothing, machinery, or anything you might touch. And also in food and water, and in the air. They exist in many different types and forms. Some are harmless and even useful for various purposes. But other types can prove very harmful and deadly if given the opportunity.
Gee, if they're all over like that, I should think everybody would have something the matter with them all the time.
Well, before bacteria were discovered and we learned how to fight them, that was just about true. Disease and sickness were many times more prevalent than they are today. Plagues of one type or another would sweep over entire continents, and people would drop in the streets, dying by thousands.
Gosh.
In those days, if you lived through the many diseases of childhood, you had a string of horseshoes around your neck. And if you reached the ripe old age of 50, you were virtually a walking miracle.
Yeah, things were pretty bad, I guess.
Yes, the so-called doctors and physicians practiced many types of treatment, but they were groping blindly in the dark. They were uncertain of what caused disease.
Well, then, how'd they find out about it?
250 years ago, an obscure Dutchman named Leeuwenhoek developed a hobby for grinding lenses. He found that certain of these lenses would make things look bigger than they really were. So he built the first microscope, and he began looking through it at everything he could lay his hands on. One day, he looked at a drop of rainwater. He discovered that it contained many little animals of various sizes and shapes, swimming and playing around, and all of them 1,000 times smaller than could be seen with the naked eye. That was how bacteria were discovered.
But how did they find out that germs made people sick?
Well, that was discovered later by a Frenchman named Louis Pasteur. He proved that some of these microbes were pretty bad actors and that they produced various diseases in the bodies of animals and human beings.
How about the kind of microbes that cause certain diseases?
Since the time of Pasteur, many things have been discovered about that. Many men and women have given their lives to this work, and the search isn't finished yet by any means.
But what about infection from cuts and things?
A man named Lister in England proved that if germs could be removed or prevented from getting into a wound or incision, it would heal promptly without infection, and that germs could be killed or arrested by antiseptics. In the case of surgical operations, it is possible to prevent germs from getting into incisions by making sure everything used in connection with the operation is absolutely clean and sterile.
Sure, but that wouldn't apply to accidental injuries.
No, Joe, it's not possible to practice this method with industrial injuries because it would be impossible to sterilize our hands and everything they touch. That's why it's important to have this type of injury treated as soon as possible.
Gee, this stuff about bacteria and germs is more important than I figured.
It's so important, Joe, that a huge army of men are devoting their lives to finding out what hasn't already been learned. Millions of dollars are being spent to carry on research along these lines, such as the work being done in the Pasteur, Rockefeller, and other similar institutions. Every hospital and large clinic has its laboratory, which functions in close cooperation with doctors and surgeons in their work. And students in every larger university are beginning a life of work and study to search farther into the cause, prevention, and treatment of disease.
Well, what kind of germ is it that causes infection from small cuts like this one of mine?
Well, Joe, if you were talking to a bacteriologist, he would probably tell you.
The types of bacteria which cause infection in wounds are quite prevalent on normal skin, particularly on the hands and also on clothing and on instruments and tools that have been handled. The three most dangerous of these are called the staphylococcus, the streptococcus, and the tetanus bacillus. Big words to look at, but important. Let's look at them through the microscope. The staphylococcus microbes usually grow in bunches like grapes. They're quite prevalent on the skin and are quite likely to get in should a wound occur. When growing, they usually cause an abscess, but often they break through into the bloodstream. The streptococci attach themselves together to look like strings of beads. There are lots of them on your skin and in your mouth. They need very little encouragement to get a foothold in the human body and produce dangerous infections. The tetanus bacillus is shaped like a drumstick, and its spores lurk in dirt and on such things as rusty nails. They confine their growth to a particular spot on the body, but they give off deadly poisons which affect the central nervous system and cause the dreaded and fatal lockjaw.
So you see, Joe, some of these germs are pretty bad actors.
You're telling me. But how do they get in, and what happens when they do?
Well, as the bacteriologist would no doubt say...
Let's suppose you're working with a screwdriver. Dirt-containing bacteria is present in the pores of your skin. In all probability, the screwdriver also contains harmful bacteria. The screwdriver slips and nicks your hand, breaking through the skin. Both the bacteria on the screwdriver and those on your skin are carried in and deposited in the tissue underneath. Now, suppose the proper measures are not taken to destroy them. Even though the harmful germs carried in are few in number, the conditions may be just right for them to go to work. And believe me, they multiply like nobody's business. For example, here are the same bacteria several hours later. Notice how they've increased in number. Even by the next day, the infection may be in an advanced stage, and numerous pus pockets begin to show up as the bacteria feed off the cell tissue.
Holy smoking, in only a few hours.
They work fast, don't they?
You bet.
Here's the important thing to remember.